Hey everyone, it's Marvin. This episode of Books and Boba is brought to you by Home Interrupted, a new podcast from our partners at Feet in Two Worlds. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds' Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds' Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to
Whoa!
Potluck.
And hey, welcome to Books and Boba, a book club and podcast featuring books by Asian and Asian American authors. My name is Marvin Yue.
And I'm Rira Yu.
And welcome to our March 2024 mid-month book news check-in, where we go over the latest Asian American book and publishing news. As always, our podcast is supported by our listeners over at patreon.com/booksandboba. So if you'd like to play a bigger part in what we do here at the book club, head on over. Patreon supporters get access to our members-only Discord server, where you can talk to us and fellow members in real time, as well as our monthly bonus podcast, Boba Chats. A big thank you to everyone who's already become a member on Patreon. We really do appreciate your support. Yeah, as always, we start off our mid-month check-ins by going over the latest publishing announcements for books by Asian authors compiled from Publishers Weekly as well as other online sources. So let's get started. Rira, what is our first book deal this month?
All right. So in a preempt, Delacorte Press acquired debut author Luli Ma's The Perfections, a YA modern fantasy pitched as The Hunger Games meets K-pop, in which music creates magic and is owned by sinister corporations. The book follows two star-crossed teens who must compete in a life-or-death competition to become the ultimate global idol, an elite performer known as Perfection. Publication is slated for fall 2025.
It sounds pretty intense. Like a death game, American Idol type show?
That's like pretty much every single K-pop survival show. It is like so intense to the point where I'm like, I am watching The Hunger Games. The only difference is that I'm not watching children die. But it is pretty much the same vibe, I guess.
I guess. I mean, in Korea, like people train like half their lives to for just a chance to make a debut, right?
People in Korea train really hard for anything that they're trying to aspire for. It is a very grinding culture. But this sounds really interesting. I mean, a lot of commentary on the industry and how, I guess, like moral it is to pit children against each other in this brutal industry and beauty standards and whatnot, yeah. Because it's called The Perfections.
Yeah. And also like the theme of like using music as like a resource, like music creates magic to be used by corporations. And you know, we all know in real life how, you know, entertainment and media gets like essentially weaponized as like soft power, right?
Yeah, not so much a soft power these days. I feel like the entertainers, they seem to understand their level of influence a little bit more these days. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But congratulations to Luli. This sounds quite thrilling.
All right, our next deal. Learner's Imprint Millbrook acquired Revolutions Are Made of Love by Sanyeon Shin and Melina Mangal, and illustrated by Leslie Barlow. Told through a series of poems, the nonfiction picture book depicts the emotional narrative of civil rights leaders James and Grace Lee Boggs. Starting from their respective childhoods and through their journey together as political activists and theoreticians, publication is planned for fall 2025.
I love books where it teaches kids about like important historical figures, especially historical figures who have really paved the way in civil rights. I mean, I didn't learn about Grace Lee Boggs until I was a full-grown adult. So
yeah, I mean, her story isn't really something, her or her husband's story isn't really something that we learn in the history books, right? Like we learn about the big figures, maybe like Martin Luther King, but we're not really taught about all the other people that were involved in the civil rights movement, because, you know, it really was a movement and there's a lot of players there. And, you know, hopefully this will be like a gateway for kids to know about this couple and also seek out other media, right? Because there's been a couple documentaries made over the years about Gracie Boggs and her fight as well. So yeah, definitely down for teaching kids the hidden histories of our country.
Yeah, and I like the fact that this book starts from these figures, like, childhoods, because I'm like, yeah, like show kids that they can grow into a leadership role and into roles that you can advocate for change. Yeah. All right, so our next book deal is Knopf Bought Nunu and the Sea by Isabella Kung, a picture book about a little girl whose big emotions lead her on a fantastical journey across the stormy seas. Publication is scheduled for fall 2025.
Yeah, this seems like a cool story for kids to, you know, get in touch with their emotions, I guess.
Yeah, especially since, you know, we live in a society where kids with big emotions are kind of considered to have, like, temper tantrums. So it's like, oh, okay, this is a book about, like, having big emotions and it can lead to something beautiful. And I'm pretty sure since it's a fantastical journey across the stormy seas, we're going to see some fantastical illustrations. Anything with, like, I feel like picture books that show sea voyages, they tend to be, like, especially beautiful. So, yeah, I'm guessing that this is going to be a beautiful book.
Yeah. All right, next up, another imprint of Lerner Publishing. Carol Rhoda bought world rights to A Home on the Page by Cal Kyla Yang, the author of the APALA award-winning book From the Tops of the Trees, and illustrated by Seo Kim, who previously worked with Cal on A Map of the World. In the picture book, a girl yearns for a sense of belonging in the U.S., where her people, the Hmong, are often subjected to stereotypes and racism, and begins to build a home for herself through the written word. Publication is set for fall 2025.
I love that this is a book that centers on the Hmong diaspora, because I feel like that is a diaspora within, I feel like that's a diaspora that's not usually represented in, mass media. So,
yeah, they're a community that often gets lumped into, you know, the other refugee communities. But it's cool to see more specific representation, especially in, you know, picture books, because it's never too early to teach kids that Asians and Southeast Asians are not a monolith.
And it's like, I feel like it's a really unique experience when you are a diaspora of a marginalized group in the motherland, because it's because I know the Hmong community are indigenous, right? So it's like, yeah, there's like a different layer of estrangement, I guess, and a different level of idea of, like, what is home and what is holding on to our culture? What does that look like? So I think it is, like, a pretty interesting conversation that young people can have through this book.
Yeah.
And it's a picture book. So I'm like, dang, we're starting very early.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of heavy topics to pack into a picture book. But again, picture books are a great medium to talk about these things with younger readers, to teach them, like, empathy from a young age. So it's pretty cool. Congratulations to Cal on the book deal.
All right. Our next book deal is In a Preempt, Wednesday Books bought debut author and Pitch Wars alum Tessia Tsai's Deathly Fates. Si Ying, a priestess who reanimates the dead to shepherd them home, accepts a risky job guiding a prince's corpse from a battlefield, only to find that he awakens more alive than dead. But as they work together to strengthen and preserve what life he has left, the truth of his death becomes a threat to the fate of the entire kingdom. Publication is slated for winter 2026.
This sounds like one of those, like, yeah, it's the concept is a little convoluted, but also kind of cool.
It's giving me Bleach. It's giving me Shinigami vibes and Yu Yu Hakusho vibes, too. So I'm like, yeah, I'm all for it. I don't know. Maybe just, like, my fascination with, like, what happens when people who have kind of, like, day jobs in the underworld.
Yeah, I love the fact that, you know, you have these two people who need to make a journey together. So, of course, they're going to get closer. And then, you know, what do you do when you, you know, start making friends with someone who has to leave soon, right?
Yeah. And, like, the ending, the truth of his death becomes a threat to the fate of the entire kingdom. And I'm like, oh, no. How are you going to break the news to the kingdom that, the guy who's supposed to, you know, inherit the kingdom, he's dead, but sort of, only kind of.
Just kind of, mostly
yeah,
dead.
Yeah, just kind of, mostly dead.
Yeah, sounds like a really cool concept, and, you know, looking forward to Tessia's debut. All right, next up, Simon & Schuster bought Katie Sang and Kevin Sang's Dragon Force, Infinity Secret, a middle-grade fantasy in which a group of hard-bonded humans and dragons must protect the world from dangerous magical creatures. Two additional books in the series were also part of the deal. Publication is slated for spring 2025.
I feel like every year or so we get, like, a new dragon series for young readers. There's something about... there's something about dragons.
Hey, dragons are cool. They're like big dinosaurs that fly.
Frankly, I am all for it because I feel like there are so many mediocre dragon books out there, and we just need to like repopulate the genre with better ones.
Yeah, I mean, I'm never gonna say no to more dragon stuff. Dragons are cool. My question is, are these Western or Eastern dragons?
I feel like they're Eastern dragons. That's my gut feeling.
But hard bonded leads me, because that's usually more of a Western dragon thing, right?
Maybe it's a fusion. Who knows?
Maybe. Yeah. Well, congratulations to Katie and Kevin on their 3-book deal.
All right, next up, Henry Holt acquired world rights to 2 picture books, Falling Star and I Guess I'll Go Eat Worms, written and illustrated by Linda Liu. Falling Star follows a star suffering from burnout that finds a new meaning in life with a little patience and support from an unlikely source. And I Guess I'll Go Eat Worms refreshes the old nursery rhyme with a story of new friendship between 2 misfits. Publication is slated for spring 2025 and fall 2026. Let me just say, the first picture book, Falling Star, like, it is giving me a lot of millennial and older Gen Z vibes, because suffering from burnout is real. I feel like you can just have burnout from existing these days.
I mean, if this is a star as in a literal star, then they are burning out from existing.
That's true, yeah. It's learning about science along the way.
Luckily, I think the burnout here is a metaphor, so it's not actually about the heat death of like a star or anything. God, now I have Guess I'll Go Eat Worms stuck in my head.
I'm looking at the summary and it says it's an old nursery rhyme, but I'm not familiar with
it. I don't think
rhyme.
It's a nursery rhyme per se. It's a children's song. Like, it goes like, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, guess I'll go eat worms. Like, that's
never
how I remember it. We used to sing it in, like, class. Like, we used to have a teacher who would teach us, like, silly songs. And that was one of the songs that we learned. So, in my head, I think this is what they meant. I actually don't know if there is a nursery rhyme about eating worms.
I feel like they must be based on the same thing, though. That's cool. I've never heard of it. So, this is a way to make that rhyme pass on to the next generation.
Yeah, it was probably before you came to the States.
I feel like I just have a lot of, despite immigrating here to the States at like a very, very young age, I think there are just some quintessential like American daycare / kindergarten phases that I completely missed out on. This is why I'm like really happy that there are like more picture books and children's books by Asian and Asian diaspora authors, because I feel like I missed out on so much of that growing up, just like picture books in general. But how much more likely would my parents have bought those books if it was written by somebody who shared the same culture as me, you know? So
yeah,
a little thing to like chew on, I guess.
All right. Next up, Disney Hyperion bought world rights to The Day the Books Disappeared by Joanna Ho and Caroline Cousin Pritchard. The book will also be illustrated by Caldecott medalist Dan Santat. The story is about a boy who makes all the books in his class disappear, even to his surprise, his favorites, subtly addressing intolerance and book banning. Publication is planned for fall 2025.
This is literally happening to to schools and classroom libraries everywhere. I mean, we followed book banning recent events and how kids are kind of being punished for it. And I feel like this is a very timely book.
Yeah. Joanna Ho, of course, is the author of Eyes That Kissed in the Corner, so definitely has a history of writing books with a message. And this is definitely a good way to, you know, teach kids about book banning through, you know, through subtle metaphor, right?
Yeah, I'm curious as to, like, why this boy wanted to make all the books, and I mean, not all of the books, but most of the books in his class disappear. Was he like, I don't want this storyline, so I just want to get rid of it. And then he's like, oh no, I set a precedent of like what can be banned from the classroom.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe he just doesn't like textbooks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Dan Santat, like, I've met him a couple times. He's great. And I love all of the illustrations in his books. So I just know that it's going to look beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, in an exclusive submission, Walker Books US bought Lou with the Band by Alexandra Lee Young, the author of Idle Gossip. The book is a YA contemporary novel in which a teen defers her first year of college to work as the laundry girl on the international tour of one of the biggest pop stars on the planet and proceeds to bond with the tight-knit crew, fall into an intense romance, have adventures all over the world, and ultimately find herself. Publication is slated for summer 2025.
This sounds cool. This sounds like a fun, like, travel the world to find yourself, but through the eyes of like a event crew member, which I can definitely relate with. Would you have done this, Vera? Would you have given up your first year of college?
Absolutely
to go to
fucking not. Not to be a laundry girl. Also, like, how is that even a position in a tour? Like, that would be part of like their styling team, right? And they would like be dry cleaning all of those clothes after like a day or two. Like, I feel like that's an intern. Like an intern job, and you need to actually go through a hiring process to be qualified, especially if this is like a very big pop star. But I digress.
I mean, you could just be an assistant to the wardrobe department, right? I mean, it could be like an externship, you know? I mean, I'm just saying, if you had the chance to work on the staff of like a BTS tour when you're like fresh out of high school.
Absolutely fucking not. No, leave some room for a mystery. And also, as someone who did work live events and like with like and worked concerts where there were artists that I actually really did like, it's you don't get to enjoy yourself. OK, you think that you're going to be like hanging out with the you're going to be like seeing the concert or whatever, but like for the most part, no, you're like backstage, you're doing grunt work. And I mean, it's important grunt work, but at the same time, it's not really something I would defer my first year of college for unless they offered me like a great amount of money. But then again, this is a tour. So I guess if they're paying for my travel too, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like looking back now as like a 40-year-old, I might have taken it because we've both done events before. Like I've worked on events with celebrities and, you know, you don't bond with the celebrities. You bond with the other people that are working, you know, the stage crew, the roadies. And yeah, I don't know. But this sounds like a cool, I think it's a cool twist on the like the Eat, Pray, Love storyline of someone, you know, going out of their comfort zone and like finding themselves, but in a, you know, in a more tasteful way.
I do know someone who, like, I mean, they didn't defer like college. This was like their, I guess, like gap year before graduation. But they were a roadie, but it wasn't like for a big band. So I guess like looking at her experience, I'm like, yeah, I mean, she had a lot of fun and she got to travel across like America and it was like a big road trip for her. But at the same time, I'm like, it's a very specific type of person who would do something like this.
Yeah. Not to say if I did do that, my parents wouldn't have, you know, tried to kill me. So
as long as they don't know, you know, that's another storyline that could possibly be in this book. How does the parents react to the main character deferring their freshman year?
Yeah.
Who knows?
All right. Next up, Putnam bought at auction Prodigal Tiger by debut author Samantha Chong. In this YA fantasy rooted in Malaysian culture and diaspora, Caroline, a disgraced witch in exile, must return home to save her brother, who is next in line to be protector of the island, following news of his disappearance. only to discover that she's in a race against time to settle a centuries-old score, and friends and foes may be harboring hidden agendas. Publication is set for fall 2025. This sounds kind of fun. It kind of reminds me of like a spin on the Hallmark movie where the main character returns to their hometown and like sees that nothing has changed, but everything has changed, except, you know, with dark magic and conspiracies.
I wonder if... Okay, so like the main character is a disgraced witch in exile. Like, I wonder if her family is the one who's like, hey, by the way, your brother, who is like the heir to our kingdom, he disappeared. You're the backup. or if she's just going after him to clean up his mess. I don't know. There's a lot of ways that this story can unfold.
Yeah, I mean, she's disgraced and isolated from her family for a reason, right? So we can only speculate. But I do also love that this story is couched in Malaysian myth. Always love to see more Asian cultures represented in Asian-inspired fantasy.
Yeah, I'm curious as to see what Malaysian witchcraft is. Because, Asian witches are very different from Western witches with their pointy hats and their cauldrons. So I'm excited to kind of see, like, what... sort of magic is rooted in the Malaysian culture in this book. And I also really like the title, Prodigal Tiger.
Yeah, The Prodigal Tiger Returns.
That sounds like a sequel. It's like Prodigal Tiger. Prodigal Tiger returns. Prodigal Tiger rises.
That's just Batman. Okay. You're just doing Batman.
I know, I'm just doing Batman. All right, next up, Little Brown Bought The Art of How Dogs Sleep by debut author-illustrator Allison Kim, a picture book ode to the diverse ways that dogs get ready to sleep. Publication is planned for winter 2026.
This just feels like, this just feels like a TikTok in book form.
I mean, the main reason why I have social media is to look at other people's pets. So, I like my family's dog. They like to sleep on their back like a human.
Oh, so
it's very funny to watch.
yeah. Well, congrats to Allison on her very cute book deal. And I guess that was also our last book deal for the month. As always, if we missed anything that's on your radar, please let us know, either on our Goodreads forums or our Discord server. Definitely appreciate all the help that our members have been giving us for things that we've missed. So yeah, let's move on to our news segment. Rira, what is our first news story for March?
All right. So Babel by R.F. Kuang has been optioned for a screen adaptation, according to Deadline. So independent studio WIIP, the creators of The Mayor of Easttown and The Summer I Turned Pretty, they've optioned the novel for a TV or film adaptation, we're not sure quite yet, with Temple Hill Entertainment, the creators of Twilight. And Babel was a previous book club pick. It was a pretty popular pick amongst our book club readers.
Yeah, if you haven't read the book yet, it was only like the biggest book of last year, which again made their exclusion at the Hugos super concerning. We talked about that on our last book news segment, but this sounds really cool. I hope it's a TV series. I feel like Babel deserves either like a trilogy of movies or a 10-episode limited run.
Yeah, I could see this as a mini-series. A lot of times, the 10-episode, one-hour episode each format does not work for every single type of story, but I feel like it would work really well with Babel, especially since there's so many time jumps, too.
Yeah, you know? I mean, Babel itself is not going to be a cheap production to make. There's a lot of special effects. It's a period piece.
I feel like it will not be that hard to find costuming and like set design that fits like that Victorian style, because one, like, it takes place on the Oxford campus, right? And it's already like freaking old and has like not changed, so there's really not much to change there. They just have to focus on building the Babel Tower, and that's like its own set. And with like the clothing and costume wise, they're all wearing like their uniforms, right? So that's pretty standard.
And I hope they keep all of R.F. Kuang's like sharp writing in there. Like, you know, Babel is a very, it's like a scathing rebuke on colonialism, imperialism, and how imperial powers use language to oppress its people. So Mods are really cool. Like, I can see this being really good prestige TV. And I hope they go that route, right? I hope they don't go the, you know, like, not that it's like, not to use as a pejorative, but like the YA, you know, television route. Like, don't make this a CW show. Make this like a prestige, like HBO show.
Yeah. So the producers, according to Deadline, they said, "We've been in love with Babel since we first tore through it. Rebecca is a singular generational storyteller, and we believe this is one of the most transporting, evocative, and relevant fantasy novels since Harry Potter." Okay, because they mentioned Harry Potter, I am a little bit concerned. That, like, a tiny little red flag is coming up in my brain. And, like, Dark Academia, a lot of it is about, like, aesthetics, right? It's like, oh my god, like, these, like, grand libraries and, like, the idea of pouring through tomes and pursuing knowledge while, you know, wearing your very, like, British-y clothes. It's very easy to get swept up in the aesthetics and the timeline and this idea of being an academic. But Babel is, like, it's a criticism against academia and how it excludes marginalized students and how colonialism is very, like, deeply entrenched in academia. So I'm like, please do not just think that this is a fantasy, like, academia book, like Harry Potter, in a way. It's like there are very deep, sinister, anti-colonial themes in there. Please get it right. Oh my god, please.
Yeah, this show shouldn't be just about vibes. It should be about the hidden message beneath those vibes, right? And, you know, I want to say, at the very least, I know that for their adaptation of The Summer I Turned Pretty, Jenny Han had a lot of say in, like, their adaptation and what they brought over from the books. So I'm hoping they offer the same type of power over to Rebecca for this adaptation, because I think, you know, this, for this story, for this adaptation to work, it needs her voice behind the show as well.
Yeah. Well, it's still early days. It just got optioned. So as more news about the adaptation comes up, we'll cover it on the show.
Yeah, I'm especially excited for casting announcements. I know we're, like, probably years away from that, but I want to know who plays Robin, who plays Rami, and who plays Victoire, too. It's going to be, I'm so excited.
Yeah, and they also have to, like, make sure that their cast knows how to speak the languages that the characters are studying, because I feel like language training is not something that you can skimp out on a book that's about translation and language. So we'll see. Lots of work ahead of them.
Who do you think is going to play Professor Lovell?
I mean, do not ask me. Like, I'm so bad with actors. Like, I don't remember their names. I only remember the characters that they play.
It needs to be, like, the most smarmy British dude.
There's plenty of those.
Oh, maybe Benedict Cumberbatch.
No, absolutely not.
All right. Well, looking forward to following the story in more detail. Like we were mentioning, it's still just an option right now, but I have a pretty good feeling. Like, Babel is too big a property to not, like, get to the finish line. So we'll see.
Yeah, it also depends on the writers that they hire to do the script. Because, you know, like... We've seen adaptations where it's been taken and penned by someone who is not from the community, and a lot of things get lost in translation. And what do you know? That is kind of the message in the book. But anyway, yeah. Our last piece of news is that Y'all West announced their lineup. So Y'all West is a book festival that will be held at Santa Monica High School, and it's going to happen on Saturday, May the 4th, you know, Star Wars Day. So I guess, you know, maybe there will be some people there dressed up in Star Wars cosplay. Who knows? And there's a handful of Asian and Asian American authors who are going to be there, and we've had some of them on our show. So we have Renee Adier, the author of the Wrath and the Dawn series. Kate Chen Lee, author of A Bright Heart. We've had her on the show. We have Jorge Cham, who's the author of Oliver's GRE at Big Universe. Melissa De La Cruz, the author of The Encanto's Daughter, which is her latest book. She has like over 27 books, you guys. We've talked to her about her skill in juggling so many projects on this show before. The lineup also includes Hafsa Faisal, the author of A Tempest of Tea and We Hunt the Flame, Stacey Lee, the author of Kill Her Twice and Luck of the Titanic, you know, and Stacey Lee, very big name. She's like the queen of Chinese-American historical fiction. The lineup also includes Judy I. Lin, the author of the Book of Tea duology, who we've also had on the show. Tahereh Mafi, the author of All This Twisted Glory and the Shatter Me series. Marie Lu, the author of Stars and Smokes and the Legend series. Marie Lu's also a very prolific author that we've mentioned quite a few times on the show. The lineup also includes Zoe Hannah Mikuta, the author of Off With Their Heads, Amelie Wen Zhao, the author of Song of Silver, Flame Like Night, and Anne Zhao, the author of Dear Wendy. So a good mix of debut authors, newly minted authors, and established authors with like 10 books underneath their belts.
Yeah. Really cool to see like so many Asian authors at this like major event. You know, I've never been to Y'all. Have you ever been to Y'all West, Rira?
Yeah, I have. I've been like two times, I think.
We've been doing this podcast for like almost 8 years now. And I feel like I should go at some point. Maybe, should we go this year? Can we go? It's free,
right?
I
have to look.
It's a free event.
Yeah, it is free. So this is a free event for those of you guys who are going to be in town. Yeah, like the two times that I've went, I was really surprised and really happy to see actual young adult readers there because I feel like the book community, like, I don't know, this is an ongoing conversation about like adults impeding on young people's like reading spaces. So it was actually like really nice to see like teenagers and college students showing up and they're like actually meeting their favorite authors for the first time. And it's just like, wow, that energy is like something that you really can't capture online, or the closest you can capture it to are like, I don't know, like Discord.
But yeah. So now my question is more, should we go as someone who, as I mentioned, is all just turned 40.
I don't know. I'm very curious as to like how they have changed over the years. Because like the first time I went was like very, very early days when they were just getting their foot in the door.
Yeah, so maybe we'll go. Let us know if you think we should go.
No promises, truly.
But yeah, really cool to see this lineup. Really cool to see all these Asian faces.
Also, if you guys are in town, I know the LA Times Book Festival is happening around the end of April. I'm not quite sure about the date, but lots of book festivals are coming up in our midst. And yeah. I would pay attention to like what's happening in your area, because usually there's at least one book festival, and it's very important to support your local book festivals, local bookstores. And a lot of these authors, you know, they are touring with their new titles, so maybe you'll get ARCs, who knows.
Yeah, definitely keep an eye out. With that, I guess that'll do it for our mid-month check-in for March 2024. Rira, as always, thank you for compiling all the book and publishing news for this episode. Before we go, can you please remind our listeners what we are reading for book club this month?
Yeah, so we are reading Welcome to Hyeonnam-dong Bookshop by Hwang Bo-reum and translated by Shanna Tan. And it is a book about a Korean woman who is burnt out. She did everything she was supposed to, go to school, marry a good guy, get a respectable job. And then it all fell apart. And then she decided to move to a quaint neighborhood outside of the bustling cosmopolitan Seoul. And she opens up a bookshop and her customers take refuge there. And it's about, you know, learning how to live that slow life and face disappointments that you've had.
Just a nice cozy book for our times. We've been, if you've been following us on Discord, our members have been very active in talking about what we would do if we opened up our home bookstore. So that's a lot of fun. If you're on Patreon, hop on over to Discord and chat with us. But Yeah, if you've already finished the book, as always, we'd love to hear your feedback either on Discord or on our Goodreads forums. If you are not a Patreon supporter, we always love to hear your feedback on our book club picks so we can include them in our discussion episodes whenever possible. And we just love to hear from you guys and love to know that you are reading along with us. Thank you so much for listening to Books and Boba. And we'll see y'all next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Books and Boba. This podcast was hosted by Marvin Yue and Ri Ryu and edited and produced by Marvin Yue. Follow the book club on Twitter and Instagram by going to @booksandboba and engage with us on Goodreads on our Goodreads group. You can also check out past episodes of the podcast by going to booksandboba.com and by subscribing to us on your favorite podcast app. Don't forget, you can support Books and Boba and Asian American authors by purchasing books at our bookshop.org account. Check out the link in our show notes and also at booksandboba.com. Books and Boba is a proud member of the Potluck Podcast Collective, a collective of Asian American hosted podcasts featuring unique voices and stories from the Asian diaspora. Learn more about the collective and check out our fellow Potluck shows by visiting the website podcastpotluck.com. Thanks for listening.
Brian, did you go to Saturday school as a kid?
I sure did. Did you?
Totally.
Well, at our podcast, Saturday School, we don't teach a language, but we pass along the culture that we do know.
And that's Asian American pop culture.
Ada's a journalist, and I'm a professor and film festival programmer.
We've watched a lot of great Asian American movies, and we want you to watch them too. Come listen to us as we look back at the pioneering films that have led us to today.